know either.
Series called Nobody's Fool. Amen.
Amen. This will be the last message today. We have your Bibles. I'm going to bring it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 21. Just one scripture today. And it says this. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. If you don't mind, shake somebody's hand and say, I have played the fool. Yeah, I have played the fool. Yes, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we are now in the climactic finale of this relationship series, I can't believe it's been 8 weeks. I haven't taught them this long in my life, so 8 weeks is crazy. So I'm hoping through the podcast and YouTube, you can go back and review, because you might have missed something the first time, because it's so much. This relationship series, and while I've been dealing with relationships, monogamous relationships, we see husbands and wives, and I've been dealing with singles, and I've been dealing with teens, and I've been dealing with all this stuff. And I'm just going to say, you know what, God, I'm just going to end it in love, because love is pretty simple, pretty basic. It's kind of been the main thing of everything. But as I began to read scripture, I came across this story that not only had the word fool in it, but it also had a relationship tied to it. See, in this particular text, we see a relationship between two men that has a fatherly son vibe to it, David and Saul. As we look at the text, I see this, how we can be a fool by our own pride, our own jealousy, and our own arrogance. But we can also be a fool by taking what? Unnecessary abuse, being deceived when things happen, and if we don't deal with it and get healed from it, it'll show up in our marriage, it'll show up in our friendship, it'll even show up in how we parent our children. So you already know me, I gotta give you some pretext before I give you some context. I gotta make sure you appreciate what's going on. I can't just start you in chapter 26. I don't know if y'all like me, but when I go to the movies, if I'm 5 minutes late, it messes me up. I gotta know what's happening. I even like to see the previews. I can't go into a movie, so I can't expect y'all to jump in chapter 26 and kind of not know what's going on. So Saul has messed up prior to chapter 16, and God has rejected him as king. He said, you're no longer going to be my king because you keep disobeying me. And I'm looking at that, and that's a whole other message, because what if God keeps you in a position but takes away your anointing? What if you still got the position, but God ain't even with you no more? Saul found himself in this. He had the position to be king, but God said, you know what? I'm going to anoint somebody else. And so God comes and says, you know what? I'm going to anoint David to be king. Samuel comes and anoints David to be the king. So now Saul has this troubling spirit in him. He's distressed. He's perplexed. And one of his servants said, you know what? I know a young man that can play the harp, and he loves God. His name is David. I'm going to go get him for you so he can play this. He can play the harp for you. So not knowing David had been anointed to be king, Saul invited him into the palace. See, when God's anointing is on you, you don't have to cheat, steal, lie, or claw your way to the palace. See, when God says this who you are, he puts your tongue on people's names. He puts your name on people's tongues, excuse me. It don't even matter how far you might think you're away or what you think you don't got. God put him in place. So David was attending his sheep, and then the next day he was in the palace, y'all. That's a blessing right there. So let's look at this real quick. In 1 Samuel 16, it says, so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was. Whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, then David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So David was his armor bearer. So basically, everywhere that Saul went, David was right there. He was right there holding it down. He was his armor bearer. And it trips me out that every time David played, it said the spirit that was distressing him would leave Saul. So this is how the relationship begins. In chapter 17, we know that that's when David fights Goliath. And most of us know this story, that everybody was scared, even Saul. Everybody was scared to fight Goliath. Goliath was challenging everybody. Everybody was scared. David is a boy, and he isn't scared. But it's not because it's a giant. It's because the giant is defying God. I wish I had five people that would have caught that, because some of you are facing giants today, and you're so concerned about the giant instead of the God you worship. Amen. See, the God I worship is bigger than any giant. You might be facing a giant in your life right now, but you must understand that I don't care how big it is, my God is bigger. I don't care what I'm going through, my God is big, my God is strong, my God is mighty, my God is powerful. So no matter what I'm going through, so David ain't even caring, it's a giant, he's a boy, this thing 9 feet tall, but he said, my God is bigger. So we all know what happens. David takes his stone, throws it, and kills the Goliath. The giant drops and all that. So now Saul made a deal. He said, look here, anybody that kills him, I'm going to give him my daughter in marriage, and his father won't have to pay no more taxes. So it's all good in the hood. David is hooked up. He's going to get Saul's daughter. His father ain't got to pay no taxes. Things is going good. So in this season of David's life, and I so wish I had time to go slowly, but I got to get to the point today, so we wanted to go through these chapters. But he went from journey from shepherd to a king. And it trips me out that David is playing for Saul. He's keeping his evil spirits away. David went to battle for Saul, put his life on the line, defeated a giant and wasn't afraid. David did all this for Saul, and their relationship was good. It was perfect. At this point in time, let's walk over to chapter 18. It says this. After David came back from victory from killing the Philistines, it says this. So the women sang and danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry at the saying, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000 and to me have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. This begins the malice in the palace. Yeah, this is when it all starts and it gets evil, it gets crazy. David slayed his 10,000s. David killed a giant, Saul. What you mad for? He killed a giant. He been fighting the Philistines. You right, he slayed his 10,000. You slayed your thousands. But just because they gave him more people, that mean he a better warrior than you. That don't mean he a better king than you.
Right.
Nobody said that. But when you are insecure, you can't stand to see other people do well. See, when you're insecure, you're constantly measuring yourself up to other people. But when I'm secure, I'm going to do the very best I can and be grateful for every gift God gave me, because he didn't have to give it to me in the first place. But insecurity messes us up. Y'all, gets our mind going all over the places. Who am I talking to? You got a couple good things going in your life and you're grateful. See, if it's meant for me to sing like that, I'm going to sing. If it's not, it's not. If it's meant for me to praise and dance like that, if it's not, it's not. If it's meant for me to preach and teach like that, if it's not, it's not. I'm going to do whatever God called me to do and be happy that he gave me the gifts. But insecurity and comparison, it messes us up, y'all. We got to understand that. We check this out. God gave me this saying when we're dealing with some insecurities. Look at this. It says this. When you are in the neighborhood of insecurity, you will eventually end up in the residence of jealousy.
That's good.
My God, my God.
Yeah.
When you in the neighborhood, when you driving through the neighborhood comparing this and comparing that, look what they got, how God blessed them and God didn't bless me. As soon as you get done driving, you're going to park and stop at that residue of jealousy. Mm-hmm. See, Saul had an evil eye toward David. That's when things begin to change. Look at this. And it happened on the next day. The distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David playing the music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. What just happened? Before, when we see David play the harp for Saul and the evil spirit would leave, David was anointed to play a song and it would heal Saul. He was anointed to play the song and deliverance would come. He had done it so many times before, but he couldn't break through that spirit this time. Why come he couldn't break through the spirit? Because when someone is jealous of you, you cannot help them get delivered because they can't stand the sight of you. Before he played and he gets delivered. Now his plan is not moving. And some people in your life, sometimes in our families and our friends, you will go to bat for and do anything for. But when they become jealous of you, ain't nothing you can really do. See, when I come jealous of your anointing, jealous of your relationship with God, your marriage, your job, jealous of your peace, jealous of your joy. And sometimes, truth be told, all we got is a relationship with God. I ain't even really got nothing else. It's God that got me looking like I got a lot and I'm really in a season of lack. It looks like I got an abundance and I'm blessed, but it's really just because I know God. I'm struggling like you right now. I'm balling on the budget. I'm trying to fix my credit. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying to save some money. But it's the grace of God that is keeping me there. And crazy because Saul, it says, he tried to pin David with a spear twice. David was a good one. Yeah. The first time you try to pinch me with a spear, I'm probably out. Yeah, it's time for me to move out the palace. Send somebody come get my stuff. I ain't even coming to pack. No, send somebody back, bring it back to daddy's house. You ain't tried to kill me twice. I ain't fooling with you. But don't be a fool. Check this out. Because God will send a David in your life. Yeah. And see, if God sends a David in your life, they're there to help you to get some victories. They're there to help you to get some deliverance. But because you got personal issues and you jealous and insecure, you will push the David away in God's help. Then you turn a blessing into a burden.
Wow.
So the same chapter after Saul tries to kill David with his spear, he's like, God is really with this boy. I don't know if Saul must have some bomb aim. He don't miss or something because he said God really with him. He must knew he was going to pierce him and hit him. But he said God's really with him. So he said, since God's really with him, I probably can't do this. So I'm going to give my enemies, the Philistines, to kill him. So if Saul puts together another plan. He gives his first daughter. He says, look, I'm going to give her the marriage to you, David. I'm going to let you have my first daughter. Only thing I want you to do is go to battle for me. Go to battle and you can have my daughter. But Saul's so cold-blooded, when David goes to battle, he gives his daughter away to marry somebody else. Yeah, that's the trick right there. Because what do we see? We see a father that is so caught up in destroying someone, he's lying to his own daughter. Yeah. Who has so much control over you, your thoughts, and your minds that you're willing to lie or use your children to get something accomplished? That's a bad place to be in. I just can't even make this stuff up. It's crazy. So let's look at next chapter. Verse 20. It says, now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and this thing pleased him. This is another daughter. So Saul said, I will give her to him that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David, a second time you should be my son-in-law today. So we see Saul again using his daughter's leverage. He's happy that she loves David because that means I can get a snare against him. We don't want to be nobody's fool. And mama used to say it like this, you fooled me once, shame on you. You fooled me twice, shame on me, praise God. That we don't want to be nobody's fool. And he has did it again, said, you're going to be my son-in-law again. But David, because of his love for Saul, has turned a blind eye to Saul's behavior. Sometimes we play the fool in our friendships and relationships and with family members because we love people and we're loyal. Don't miss that. One thing I want you to see is that you can be loyal to a fault. Yeah. That doesn't mean be evil or be mean to people, but guess what? Loyalty has its limits. When loyalty to you causes lack in my house, I gotta let you go. When loyalty to you has me breaking laws, that's when I gotta let it go. When loyalty to you has me lying, that's when I gotta let it go. When loyalty to you has put limitations on my life, I gotta let it go. When loyalty to you has me taking loss after loss, I have to let it go. So what you gotta understand is sometimes loyalty has its limits because we loyal to the wrong people. So when people try to play you and God is on your side, you ain't did nothing wrong. All you gotta do is walk in your integrity. He going to bless you. Saul said, look here, you gonna marry my daughter? David's like, look here, I ain't got nothing. Remember I told you before that it was called a dowry. When someone was about to marry someone's daughter, they had to have some money. I'm giving you my daughter. You gotta have some money. David's like, I'm poor. I'm the shepherd's boy. I ain't got nothing. Saul said, don't worry about it. You gonna give me 100 foreskins of the Philistines, we good. See, that's all you want? Yeah, because Saul thought he was going to be killed in battle. David came back with 200. Y'all miss y'all show. He said, get 100. David came back with 2. So what God is saying, when your enemy think they're trying to hurt you and deceive you, he going to give you double for your trouble. He going to give you abundance and more. He asked for 1 and came back with 2. So you know Saul on fire now because David and came back with 2. So I want you to know that the will of God will keep you. And God wants to bless you even when your enemies want to trap you. So now Saul goes ahead and tells his servants, look here, my son Jonathan, we should kill David. He goes and tells his son Jonathan, look here, we should kill David, but we got to look at this. David and Jonathan are boys. They become best friends. That's his homeboy. So Saul comes to his son like, hey, we got to kill David. We see your father again willing to put his sons and his daughters in harm's way just to get what he wants. Woo! What do we do when our parents want to put us in harm's way just to get what they want? Or people that love us are willing to put us in harm's way just to get what they want? Jonathan comes to his pops. He's like, "Pops, look here. David a good dude. That's my homeboy. He love you. He willing to go to battle for you. He married your daughter. I mean, David love you, Pops. You ain't got to kill him. What's wrong with you?" And Saul agrees. "You right about David. I ain't got to kill him. I'm not going to do it." But this is why you have to watch people that are jealous of you. Because as soon as you have some success, that demon will rise up again. Yeah, yeah. If we jump over here to chapter 19, it says this. Then Saul pinned David to the wall with the spear again, but he had slipped away from Saul's presence. David had some more victories in battle. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, don't forget Saul's daughter, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." This is why nobody's fool relationships, why other than accepting Jesus Christ as your personal savior, the most important decision you can make is who you marry. His wife gave him the inside track. She said, "Hey, if you don't leave tonight, they're going to kill you in the morning." Saul is sending people to watch David's house. His daughter understands this, that the two shall become one flesh. So even though my daddy want to kill you, I'm not going to let him kill my husband. Some of y'all let y'all family kill y'all spouse. Yeah. Y'all get talked to them any kind of way, let family disrespect them, let family talk about them, and you wonder why they don't want to come around to your family functions. Because they know if it come down to it, they're going to get killed. We not one flesh. It's not he crazy, we crazy.
That's right.
It's not she broke, we broke.
Yeah.
It's not his kids, it's our kids. Yeah. So you ain't willing to become one flesh, you ain't nowhere willing ready to get married because the two should become one. So Michal lets David, she said, "Look here," she let him out the window, out the back door. She gets an idol, she gets some gold, put some goat hair, put it on the thing for a wig. She even put clothes on the idol. She got this thing dressed up, lays it in the bed to her. And when the messengers come to the house in the morning, they're like, "Hey, where David at?" She's like, "David's sick." Saul, they come back and report to Saul. Saul gets mad, he's angry, he's upset. He said, "Where David at?" "No, go back over there and get him." So they come to the house, take the covers off, and they see an idol. And now they mad and upset. And Saul goes to his daughter and said, "Why did you deceive me?" She said, "If I didn't get him out, he said he would kill me." Now, while I don't condone lying, but she did it to save her husband. But what if she lied too? Because guess what? Daddy been lying to me. What if she lied too? Because you've been using me to get to my husband. You know I love this man. You don't care how it's going to affect my heart. You're willing to kill him. So maybe Saul is having to reap what he sowed. Be careful when we've lied and built traps and webs and thinking they're going to come back on us. Because you didn't care about me. So the father, check this out. He's the father. He's tripping. He's lying on his daughter. He's lying on his sons. He's ready to kill people, ready to do whatever he's doing. But as fathers, we got to be careful, especially when we have daughters, because only so much time we can actually have that heart.
Yeah.
And I got a teenager. Y'all pray for me. Praise God. OMG, it's hard. For the teenage daughter, praise God. But it's only so long we're going to have their heart. So we got to be careful. Because with our daughters, the boys are a little different. They rough and tough and want to play. They don't really care about that stuff. But our daughter's heart can go into somebody else's hands. So we got to be careful. So David escapes. He runs to the prophet Samuel, who anointed him to be king. This is just a synopsis of chapter 20. David hooks up with Jonathan. He's like, "Bro, look here, bro. What did I do to Pops? Why your dad want to kill me? Why he want to harm me? What did I do to your dad?" He's like, "Hold up, I got you. If daddy going to kill you, he going to let me know first. So this is what we're going to do. We got a festival coming. You're supposed to sit at the king's table. You go away, hide over here. I'm going to say you went back to Bethlehem. If dad is cool, everything is good. If dad is mad, he want to murk you." So they have the festival. Day one goes by. Day two go by. Day three go by. And now Saul says, "Jonathan, why come David ain't at our table? Where he at?" He said he had to go back to Bethlehem and handle some family business. And look at Saul's response to his own son. Verse 30 of chapter 20 right here says, "Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan. You stupid son of a whore who swore at him. Do you think I don't know you want him to be king in your place, shaming yourself and your mother? As long as that son of Jesse is alive, you will never be king. Now go and get him so I can kill him."
Wow.
Man, when you are only concerned about your happiness, you don't care who you hurt.
Jesus.
Parents, don't be a fool and think the only thing you can do is make you happy. You care about making yourself happy and don't care about your kids. Because they got feelings too. They people too. Saul didn't care. He called him, "You stupid son of a whore." Why did he call him a stupid son of a jealous maniac?
Right.
Because you out here acting a fool too. It's a trip. We all want to attribute all the evil to one parent. Nah, mama crazy, but you crazy too. That's your child too. You got some of them wicked ways, they your ways too. That's some of your sin in there too. He ain't call him that. Nah, it's just your mama. But he's out of control. So now Jonathan had to go let David know, "You can't come back. I'll never see you." His heart is broken. They built this bond. They're brothers. And David and Jonathan all messed up. He's like, "I'll never see you again, but I promise I got you. I ain't gonna let my dad kill you." But look what being foolish has done. Saul's evil spirit has consumed him because of jealousy of David, and now he can't even hide it. He's consumed with rage and murder. Wow. He made his daughter's husband leave her to flee for his life. He made his son's best friend leave him to flee for his life. And you got to be careful, because fools are so consumed with accomplishing their own plans, they can't see how they're hurting themselves or other people. See, when I'm a fool, nobody's opinions or feelings matter but my own. This is what it looks like when we're being foolish. Choices made in anger cannot be done. We see a dog that is so angry at this bird. I don't know what this bird has done besides fly. What a bird supposed to be doing. I ain't doing nothing but what I'm supposed to be doing. But the dog is so angry and so upset. He don't realize the cliff right there. Because I got to get this bird. I don't care what's right there. I don't care what's about to happen. I got to get this bird. And when we're consumed with anger and rage and bitterness and wrath, we get so angry that we finally get the bird, but we kill ourselves. Be careful when anger and rage consumes you. Because choices made in that cannot be undone. We see our city going crazy and people are dying. Kids are dying. It's because it's anger and rage. And when it consumes you, now we got kids killing kids. Both of them gone, one in life in a prison, one in a grave, because of anger.
Right.
When all they had to do was sit down and talk. When all they had to do was turn the other cheek and walk away and say, "It ain't worth my life." Yeah. We got to be careful, y'all, that we don't be consumed with anger. So we got to get done. So chapters 21 to 23, David runs to the priest. He goes to a city named Nob. He's hanging out with the church that got to get away from Saul. He's hanging out there. And one of Saul's homeboys is spying in the city. So he heard David there. Y'all got to read this in your own time. So it comes back to Saul. He goes back to the place where David was worshiping at. And Saul orders his men to kill 85 priests of God. 85 priests, men that represent God. Saul, who was the king, the first king of Israel, appointed by God, is now killing God's priests because he's angry. Can't even see his own wrongdoing. And one time, Saul was in the wilderness after David. He almost has him, but the Philistines are attacking home, so he has to go all the way back home and handle that. And then we jump to chapter 24. Saul hears David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul takes about 3,000 soldiers with him, and David has built a small army over time. He got about 400 men. So Saul now goes to the cave to relieve himself. The Bible says Saul had to go to the cave to relieve himself. He had to go to the bathroom. So you know, in those days, they got robes on, so he had to take off the whole robe and get undressed. So guess what? The cave he decides to use the bathroom in, David and his men is in that cave. He ain't got no armor. He ain't got nothing. Let's look what happened real quick, what it says. That the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hands, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe." Now it happened afterwards that David's heart was troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Look at this. It's all set up by God. The dude been trying to kill me, been trying to murk me. Now he in the same place I am. He ain't got a weapon. His homeboy's like, "Hey, this today. God did this. You better go kill that man." David didn't kill him. He only cut off a piece of his clothes, but his heart was troubled. Why? Don't let peer pressure write you a check you can't cash. Because if he listened to his men, David would have gotten in trouble. Why? Because God has still put Saul to be king. God didn't say he wasn't going to tell you he wasn't king no more. It wasn't David's choice to kill him. See, if David killed him, it would have been David making himself king. And that's not what God did. God anointed him to be king, but God set the time table when you should be king. So when I take matters into my own hands, you know how it starts from. God put him in my hands to, "I killed him. I did this. I did that." And if we get careful, we get caught up in pride. So David, he cut could have killed him, but he says, you know what? God already said I'm king. That means I ain't got a lot of cheeks still to kill to get it. God already wanted me to be king. I'm going to let God handle Saul. I'm going to keep living godly. Don't miss that. Thank you, Dr. Charles Kelly. One of my favorite sayings. I love this. Obedience is obeying God and leaving all the consequences up to him. So he's saying, well, I'm just going to obey God. And whatever God wants to do, I'm going to let God do it. I'm not going to get in the midst of it. God going to handle it. So David, if David would have killed Saul, I'm sure it would have messed up the plans. So David cut off a piece of Saul's robe and it troubled him. Why? Because Saul was still king and he was God's anointed to be king at that time. So you got to be careful. God has given us a principle when dealing with leadership. If God's put something in leadership, you have to watch your mouth. Because if he would have killed him, he would have killed who God put in place and messed up everything. And since becoming a pastor, it's been crazy to me because everybody want to tell me their church hurt stories. I was at this church and this happened. I was at church and this happened. And this happened and this happened. And it'd be crazy story. And I'm like, well, did you pray for him? Like, just pray for him. Like, I get it. Ain't nobody perfect. And I get you. They might have hurt you. They might have messed up. But just pray for him. Help him out. Because guess what? It's going to come a time in your life you're going to need somebody to pray for you. And if they that bad in leadership, just like God put them in, God gonna take them out. You ain't gotta worry about it. God gonna handle it all. You just love them and pray for them. Ask God to have mercy on them. Because sometimes you might be a David God sending their life to help them see their flaws. So we must understand that David said, you know what, I can't do that, I can't hurt. I can't hurt Saul, I can't do anything. So when Saul gets done using the bathroom, David calls out to him. David says, look here, look here, look here, look here. I'm here, I'm here. And it says this, as the proverb of the ancient says this, wickedness proceed from wicked, but you should not, but my hand should not be against you, is what he said to him. And I know some people be like, dang, why didn't David kill him? Because that's what I feel. People are trying to kill my character, trying to assassinate who I am, my integrity, and all these things. And if I had the choice, I feel like I should have killed him. But he says, wickedness proceeds wickedness. What does that mean? If I'm willing to do to you what you did to me, in reality, I'm no better than you. If I'm going to harm you like you harm me, what does that say about me? That means I'm revengeful. I'm vindictive and murdering rage is coming in my heart as well. So when God is in my life, I can forgive you. It don't mean we got to hang out. It don't mean we got to be best friends. It just means I've forgiven you. I can't let hate consume me like it did you. So Saul, he says, you know what, David? You a better man than me. You should have killed me, but you let me go away to safety. You should have killed me. And he says, now indeed that I know you surely shall be king, and your kingdom shall be established in your hand. See, when Samuel told Saul he wasn't going to be king no more, God had taken the throne away from him. He said, I've given it to a man that is better than you. He didn't know who the man was, but Samuel went to anoint David as king. This day shows the word that was spoken over his life, that I'm going to give it to a man better than you, because David was better than him, because he had the opportunity to kill him, but he let him go away safely. So now we see this. We did all that to get to this point where we're at now. That all this is going on with David and Saul. When David leaves, Saul leaves, he goes back. And I learned this, it just helps me out. When God is on your side, you don't have to fight your battles. Amen. Yeah. When God is on my side, he fights my battles for me. Since God is with me, I can love the unlovable. I don't have to fight that battle. Since God is with me, I can deal with people that's hating. Because all the hating in the world won't make me a hater. It won't consume me. If God is with me, he's just too good. I ain't got time for the mess. So we got to let God get there. And as we come to chapter 26, Saul is agitated again. He told David, I'm done. I'm not coming back to you no more. I'm not looking for you. I'm not fooling with you. But that demon, that jealousy, just he can't shake it. He still believes he can kill David. He still believes. So he takes his army, he sets up, and he goes out to David. He tries to find him. He said, look here, I need about 3,000 y'all come rob him. You're going to look for David. I'm going to catch him this time, and we're going to kill him. So Saul goes. They set up their camp in the wilderness, but everybody falls asleep. David is right there. He looked like, hey, who got a ride? I need a couple of real ones with me right now. So a couple of like, hey, bro, I'm with you. I got you. Another one jumps up. I'm with you. I got you. So they go down. They creep into Saul's camp. Everybody's knocked out cold. Now, somebody supposed to be guarding the king. Everybody, even in our army nowadays, everybody can't be asleep. Somebody got to be on watch. Nobody guarding the king. Everybody knocked out. So they go inside Saul's tent. And what do they see? They come in and they see Saul sleep. His spear is on the ground next to his head, and he got a water jug right there. So you know, David Homeboy's, hey, this today. God had put you in his hands again. One of the homeboys said, hey, let me do it. I'm going to hit him with the spear once and won't do it twice. Headshot. He ain't getting nothing. I'm taking the brother out. Let me do it. I got you, David. You ain't got to get your hands dirty. And David like, I can't do it. Because God didn't say kill him. God didn't tell me to do that. If I kill him again, we're going to take the credit. And I don't want the credit. I got to give God the credit. So this is what we're going to do. He took his spear and they took the water jug out the king's tent. So they go all the way to the top of the hill and they yell out, hey, wake up. Who's guarding the king? Y'all sleep. Where y'all at? Everybody come out their tents and they come out looking and trying to figure out what's going on. He says, look, I got Saul's spear and I got his water jug. Everybody sees what's going on and they can't do nothing about it. God said, look here. I know they meant to destroy you, but I'm going to show you how you can give them grace. Yeah. I'm using you to show them that if they don't want to get it together, we want to lift a finger to fight deception. Right. You want to lift a finger to fight hate. You want to lift a finger. I will handle it all. You just do what I ask you to do. So God is using them to show them their sins so they will repent. He doesn't want us to be the judge when people are wrong. He ain't want us to be the judge. He wants us to be the love. So when we the love, we help them see God. He the judge and jury. We let him handle that. He just wants us to love, to show them sometimes how foolish you are and what you think is right is wrong. Yeah. So look at Saul after all that. He see his spear right there. You know, David could have killed him again. He lied and said he wasn't going to go after David no more. Look what Saul says. He says this again, where we started. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. So you think somebody trying to destroy you, they're trying to do it for the sake of destroying you. No, when God is on your side, it doesn't matter. So when I'm in his will, he's showing me that no matter how bad they want to destroy me, he's still going to bless me. No matter how bad they're trying to get to me, I got you. Yeah. The last conversation they had, Saul said, I wasn't going to do nothing. But he came back again. Now, when he wanted to kill him and curse him and hate him and do all this, look how his words changed. May you be blessed, son. Yeah. You shall do both great and prevail great things. So for once he went from cursing him and hurting, now Saul, his enemy, is declaring a blessing on his life. See, if David would have cheated the process, he wouldn't have got the blessing. We don't want to wait and be patient on the Lord. It's important to wait and be patient. That season is coming. But sometimes you got to go through the headache, the heart, the pain, the hell. You got to go through all that. So when God give it to you, he know you ready. He know you're going to be able to handle it. He know you ain't going to embarrass his name. He know you ready to write it down for the cause. And if I'm crazy, I just believe because David wrote so many Psalms. I believe this particular situation put Psalms 23. His heart. I just believe David was like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That I've been through so much. I've been through all this pain and all this heartache. And as I could have gave up and I wanted to give up, but God is my shepherd, so I will not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. Not no yellow grass, not no brown grass. God giving me some green pastures, some stuff to eat that's gonna be good for me. Some stuff that I need in the midst of all this. He giving me some stuff I need. He leave me beside the still waters and restore my soul. He giving me water to drink, new water, fresh water. My soul needs to be restored. This man was trying to kill me. He messed up my marriage. He messed up my friendship. I need my soul to be restored. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This man trying to kill me day in, day out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I should be hurt. I should want to give up. But thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I need some comfort because I'm going through. I'm hurting. I'm pain. Then he said this. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Did he not let Saul come into the cave, unroll himself, and I could have killed him. I could have did it. But he said, I will make a presence table for you in the presence of your enemies. The second time, guess what happened? Not only did he let me see it, not only did he let my man see it, but he let Saul see it again. But 3,000 of Saul's army saw I was a better man than you. He made a table for me in the presence of my enemies. 3,000 people saw I'm a better man than you. 3,000 people saw that I loved and you couldn't be loved. 3,000 people saw that God got my back. And then he says, what? You anoint my head with oil and my cup ran over. Now I'm about to be king. Not only has God blessed me, not only do I got my anointing, but even you blessed me. mercy.
Yeah.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My friendship with God, your son loved me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I married your daughter. Help me escape. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I found you in a cave. I could have killed you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I caught you again in your tent. I could have killed you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he said, you know what? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It don't matter what I'm going through. God been too good. God been too kind. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ain't no person, ain't no thing, ain't nothing gonna keep me out the house of the Lord. Because if it wasn't for him, I would be dead. I would be sleeping in my grave. My enemies would have swallowed me up. They would have killed me, but God kept me. So I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And say, amen. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You got some praise in this place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, oh God, that you've shown us through your word, through somebody like David, who dealt with all kind of issues, who a man who loved him at first and wanted to take his life had to realize he was being a fool. Because when we're not in you, we don't just hurt ourselves, we hurt everybody. Saul didn't just hurt himself, he didn't just lose the kingdom. He messed up relationships with his son. He messed up relationships with his daughter. He lied to two of his daughters. He killed priests. He messed up relationships with men because he was playing a fool. And that's not God's will for our life. And see what I said, and I'm in this, when we at the end of the chapter of 1 Samuel, at the end of the whole book, Saul goes to war and he's killed by the Philistines. All that chasing David, all that time trying to kill David. And when he finally got in war with the Philistines, he died, and also his three sons. So that means he had no heir to be king. But God anointed David to be king a long time ago before that. If he just would have played his part, I'm sure Jonathan, his son, would have been David's armor bearer. I'm sure his son would have been alive and would have lived. But because he was so consumed with rage and foolishness, his whole lineage died. Because he didn't obey God. I don't know who you are, where you stand, but God wants to let you know that he ain't never left you and he ain't never forsaken you. He's been right there, ready to hold you, ready to take your hand, ready to help you be everything he's called you to be. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ, allow him to have your heart and your mind. If you just need to rededicate your life, renew your life, whatever the case may be, give your heart and mind to Christ. If you are saved, maybe you need special prayer. Our motto is we don't want nobody going back home the same way as you came. If I came in here beat down, if I came in here hurt, if I came in here with loss of hope, why come to church and go back home the same way? I believe God got power. I believe he got all the power. I believe he can change anything. I believe one word from God can change anything. So if you need something from God, allow us to pray for you. Allow us to pray with you, whatever you may need. But God is still here. And God wants to bless you. God cares for you and he loves you. He's your shepherd. He wants to lead you and bring you to a place you didn't even know was possible. He wants to give you more than you ever thought of before. He did more in David's life. He did more in David's life. And I thank God he's not a respecter of person. If he did it for David, he can do it for me. If he did it for Moses, he can do it for me.
Yes.
If he did it for Abraham, he can do it for me.
Yes.
If he did it for Sarah, he can do it for me.
Yes.
If he did it for Hannah, he can do it for me. Whoever he is, God is not a respecter of person. So if you know you need God, you need something from God, whatever it may be, make your way. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See anybody?